Come on, if you're satisfied with our Savior, come on, you could do better than that. If I was supposed to tell you you get a good meal and you're full, you'd be satisfied. But can you be satisfied with our Lord and Savior and the King of Kings? Amen. Amen, 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 amen. I am grateful for this opportunity. My name is Minister Ford. It is a blessing to be before you on today, giving honor to our mothers and our deacons in the house. Could we give it up for our mothers and our deacons? Woo! Amen. We love them strong pillars of Hopewell. Also giving honor, I'm grateful for this opportunity. Anytime our pastor allows me to share this pulpit with him, so could we give it up for our very own pastor, Christopher Earl Swims. Come on, y'all could do better than that for the shepherd of this house, our very own pastor, the keeper of our souls, amen. And to First Lady Brittany Swims and the Swim sisters, we love on them and the First Family as they always hold it down and support our pastor. And then to my wife, who's in the back, but she'll watch this and she'll see and she'll be embarrassed because I always like to call her my chocolate drop, my queen, my everything, my sweet thing, my boo thing. She's in the back helping with Children's Church and my beautiful children that are here as well, serving and helping. I am so grateful. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. But there is a word from the Lord on today. If we could turn in our Bibles, it's a text that you've probably never read that much and skipped right over it. But we're going to start with the first book of the New Testament, Matthew 1. If you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew 1, we'll start at verse 1. Matthew 1, starting at verse 1. It's real simple. Get to the Bibles. Matthew's right there at the beginning of the New Testament. If you've gone to Revelation, you're already at the end. If you had Psalms, you're in the middle. Just go a little bit further, and you'll be right there. Matthew 1. And as is the custom of this house, if you could please stand for the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. Matthew 1. Let me get it here. I was following a little bit behind. Matthew 1. And we're going to read. Here we go. Matthew 1. 1 through 17, and it reads as follows. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David of Abraham. It goes a little bit long, just follow with me. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Abinadab. Abinadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jerem. Jerem was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amnon. Amnon was the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abud. Abud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Elud. Elud was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Mathan. Mathan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Amen, amen, amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you, dear God, that I know, dear God, that we've come here with all of our burdens, all of our cares, and we are burdened down. So we need a word from you, Father God. I pray, dear God, that you allow my flesh to decrease, that I may come invisible, that nothing but your word will speak, that someone may ask, what must I do to be saved? We thank you for this, and it's in your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, Matthew 1, I know you may be thinking, why did we just go through that whole genealogy? But I want to take this opportunity, and some of you may know this, if you went to SIU, this weekend is the Black Alumni Weekend. Do we have any SIU alumni in the house on today? All right, alumni, thank you. And this weekend is a time where they come back, and it's like a big old reunion when everyone comes together. They get to see old friends and past generations that came to SIU, and you get to see the old heads and the young cats, and everybody comes back and mingles, and it is such a great and wonderful time. But for today, if we could take a pretext and just imagine that instead of Black Alumni Weekend, we're here at church. We are now at the Gospel Alumni Weekend, because on this Sunday, we are going to look at the alumni of the gospel. That's why we went from Matthew 1, 1 through 17, because we're going to look at the gospel alumni. Now, if anybody has been to any type of reunion, any type of family reunion, you know it's a big function and it's a big affair and it is a great time. But you know, Sister Greta, what happens at these reunions sometimes? There is a lot of gossip. That gossip, they say, ooh, you remember Auntie so-and-so, you heard what happened? Ooh, all this gossip takes place. So while we're at this Gospel Alumni Weekend, there is some gossip that is taking place. If we look at the text here, the first name that we saw here was Abraham. Now, if we know Abraham, he was Father Abraham, a great man of faith. But we see here, Abraham had some issues, and folks started talking about Abraham, and they had this to say about Abraham. Why does Abraham, instead of trusting God, continues to try to make his own way? If you look in Genesis 20, Abraham now was traveling. God gave him a promise. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. So Abraham now is going, and he's traveling. But as he's traveling, he's now with his wife. And his wife, I have to say, might be kind of comparable to my wife, because she was bad, all right? She's not as good as my wife, but kind of comparable. And she was one that if anybody saw her, they was like, who is this woman that you're with, Abraham? And Abraham was kind of selfish. Abraham kind of had a little bit of lies. And he said, look here, wife, if they know that you my wife, they gonna kill me because you just that bad. So guess what? Instead of telling people that you my wife, tell them that you my sister. So that way, nothing could happen. He was worried more about himself than everybody else. So they gossiping on Abraham. Abraham, why are you worried about this when God told you what to do? He goes now, the king says, ooh, Sarah, you're mine. And takes Sarah. And Abraham, what does he do about it? Nothing. I'm sorry, Reverend Williams said it last time, please don't keep my car, nothing, because if you come around my family, it ain't going to be a shooting, it's going to be a shootout, all right? But Abraham now, he's sitting back in the cut, not saying anything. The king gets word and says, what? Abraham, this is your wife? He says, take her and go, because God is now getting me about this. But we see here, Abraham, why are you lying? Why are you not trusting God and trying to make your own way? And if we're gossiping about that, I have to say, that reminds me of myself. I ain't gonna say y'all, but I'll say me, that sometimes, why is it when God has already proven himself to be a way maker, we get in his way? When God has already said, hey, I've shown you what to do. I've shown you where to go. We say, but God, I can't trust what I can't see. And we step in the way. So we see in the gospel alumni, we got some people that lie. But we move on a little bit more and we go down to Abraham's son. Abraham's son's name was Isaac. And they're over there at the gospel alumni and they're talking about, boy, you seen Isaac? Man, he just like his daddy. Because Isaac now had the same problem that his dad did. He was blessed, and he had him a fine wife too. But he was afraid of his own life and selfishly did the same thing. He recycled the sin of his father. That is something strange, and I see it in our lives that we sometimes recycle the same sin. Yet again, I'm not talking about y'all. I could talk about myself. The same struggles that I've seen my parents have, I noticed that I'm just like my daddy, that I am stubborn as a rock. Stubborn. And I had to ask myself, why am I recycling this sin? Why am I recycling these same issues? Why do we go through the same thing over and over again? So the gossip now is getting stronger. We look and we go back in that text there. There's a man named Jacob. And Jacob, give a little history of Jacob. Jacob is known as a trickster. Jacob, when they're gossiping about at the gospel reunion, is saying, watch out for that man. He's slick at the tongue. He likes to trick. He likes to sneaky and be deceitful. He tricks his brother twice, once for his birthright, because it was very important back in the day. If you're the firstborn, you get everything. He said, look here, I know you hungry and you tired. So here, take this food. But in order for this food, give me your birthright. He was slick. He was conniving. He tricks his brother again. And he tricks him and says, hey, give me now the blessing that you deserved. I'm getting it now. And then when he tries to marry the love of his life, he in turn gets tricked and he has to wait 14 years until he could get his wife. What does this tell us when we gossiping about it? That the world calls it karma, but the Bible says it's you reap what you sow. Many times we struggle in life because we are reaping deceit. We are reaping lies. We are reaping and trying to be tricky and trying to get ahead of the game instead of doing it the right way. And now we have to sow, and we're wondering, why am I struggling in life? Why can't I seem to get ahead? Why can't I seem to go any further? It's because we may have been like Jacob, and now we are reaping the negative things in life that has come to us. What I love about this, though, in the genealogy of Jesus, but not only is it just the men, but we see four women that are named here. And now they come into the gospel alumni reunion, and they know they like to talk, and they sitting there, ooh, did you see Tamar? Tamar, you know what she used to do? The kids in children's church, right? She was what the old saints used to say? She was a walker of the streets, walker of the nights. She was a street walker, a night walker. She was a prostitute. She sold herself for a little bit of change to get what she needed. And you have Rahab. Rahab was in the city of Jericho. And she, again, herself, sold herself for other men and to get ahead in life. Then you have a woman named Ruth. Ruth was an outsider, an outcast, one that was shunned. But then you even have another woman named Bathsheba. Bathsheba was so a little bit off. Her husband was away at work, and she was sleeping with the king. My God. People talk about scandal on VH1 and all that sort of stuff, but there's so many scandals right here in the Bible. So we see here now at this gospel reunion, they talking about all of these people. We see David. He comes in, they're like, ooh, David think he's so good. He the king, he the king, he the king. But if we talk about Bathsheba, he was the one that took Bathsheba and had her husband killed just so he could have her as a wife. So we are looking at this. And if we're reading this text, you should be like me, Matthew 1 through 17. It's like, Jesus, these your people? Jesus, these your kinfolk? These the ones that we're supposed to say is your family, the one that we're supposed to look up to, the one that came back from generation that have done all this dirt and this stuff? How can we put this together? Well, I'm going to let you just know something at this gospel family reunion that we have in here. We're going to play this name game, all right? You know, you had a family reunion, you play different games where everybody come together as a family. Well, like any good name game, any good thing, we want to introduce yourself. You may not know your distant cousin, your distant uncle, so you have a little name tag on, right? And so everyone, though, has a nickname. Take, for example, Pastor Swims. Y'all can't call him this nickname, okay? Only those who know his family. His name is Christopher Earl Swims, but his family calls him Chip. So today, he's going to be introduced as, he'll come up and say, hi, I'm Christopher, but my name is Chip. But let's go back now and look through at all these people at the family reunion and understand what their nickname is and who they really mean beside the gossip. Let's introduce and bring Abraham up to the stage, all right? Hi, I'm Abraham, but my name is Faith. See, the thing about Abraham is faith was what his foundation is. Faith is what he was known for. And if we're looking at this and saying, okay, God, what does this have to do with all these people that came before Jesus? We have to understand that Abraham, in spite of all his flaws, he was a man of faith. He had faith to trust God no matter what was going on in his life. Abraham was a man that God told him, take your son up to the altar and sacrifice him. Can you imagine being told from God to sacrifice your firstborn, your only son? And this is after God had already promised them that you would be the father of many nations. But yet, and still, Abraham, being a man of faith, follows God. And what does God do? He shows himself to be faithful, and he provides a ram in the bush and a way of escape. So he was trusting God's word. He was trusting his promise. He had the faith to believe. So I have to ask you a question. Can you imagine that if we all took our faith together right here, right now, that what God can do with all the faith that is in this room right now, can you imagine if we came together and said, you know what? I'm not going to listen to the gossip of Abraham's life. I'm going to listen to what he represented. And with all of that faith, what can God do? The word of God said that it just takes faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can move mountains. Do you understand and believe that what God wants to do in your life, if you just put a little bit of faith on top of it, a little bit of belief on top of it, that God is able to do great and mighty and awesome things. Bible says, and it's recorded, that Abraham, he was credited for his righteousness. He was credited for his faithfulness, that God blessed him because he was faithful. What we need to understand and see, that anything is possible if you have the faith to believe. So I wonder, do I have any faith people here at this gospel alumni reunion that you say, God, in spite of what I'm going through, God, in spite of what it looks like, I want to stand and represent the faith of who you are. Why, God? Because I believe in your word. God, I believe that you have a promise over my life. So I want to be like Abraham and stand in the faith and represent who you are. But not only Abraham, we see Isaac steps back up. And in spite of everybody talking about him, in spite of everybody looking at him, he introduced himself and said, hi, I'm Isaac, but my name is Patience. See, he was patient throughout his life. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Isaac was the one that Abraham, he was following his daddy. And as he's walking with his daddy, he's like, okay, daddy, I'm familiar. We about to go make a sacrifice, right? Cool. Where to go at? He's like, oh, ain't no goat. All right, I'm going to be patient. I got this knife and this rope, though. All right, cool, cool, cool. All right, well, oh God, I'm going to still be patient. Daddy, here's the altar. Where the sacrifice? But yet he was still patient. He now lays down on the altar, and he's looking up at his father like, daddy, you're the one that loved me. You're the one that promised to take care of me. But yet now you are with a knife over my body. And can you imagine the patience that takes to trust and wait and to see, okay, God, I got to believe you. God, I got to trust you. God, I got to be patient. And it's in that we see his patience. But not only that, he wasn't like his father. His father couldn't have a kid with Sarah, so he went ahead and found another woman to have a kid with, and it had another kid with him, had another wife. But Isaac, we see he was patient, and he found his wife, but his wife couldn't have a child. Isaac waited 20 years faithfully until God blessed him with a child. Can you see the patience that they take day by day, having to see everyone grow with their kids, play ball and play catch? But yet Isaac was patient. He was patient. See, one thing that we have to understand about patience has an ability to do something that is great in our lives. Now, I know I may not look like it, but I know people that like to work out a lot, all right? I'm trying to get back there. You know, I'm trying to get to the place where I can tie my shoe and not have to hold my breath. It's a little bit of struggle, but God is working on me. I pay for Planet Fitness every month. They don't see me all the time, but I still pay because I say one day I'm going to be in there faithfully. But working out, those who are impatient and they want to build strength, they cannot build no strength. Because I don't know if you've ever seen somebody bench pressing and lifting weights, right? But then some people, they want to show off and they're impatient. So they're like this. And they're trying to pump away and make it look all like they're all big and buff and strong. But they're going so quick and so fast and they're not being patient. Because the thing about it is that if you have low weights and quick movements, you're not going to build any muscle. But the thing that you have to have is heavy weights and slow movement, because that resistance is now going to build some strength. So instead of as I push up, it takes that strength, but I got to be patient on the way back down.
And it's a slow and steady movement. What we have to understand, the spiritual workout of patience builds strength. When we are patient in our life and in our spirit, we are building strength. We are building strength. We are building strength. And what we have to understand is that sometimes we're not lifting a weight we put on ourselves, but we're lifting the weights of life. We're lifting the pressures of life. And we have to be patient with that. But it's in that patience that we build our strength. Okay, you don't believe me? Let me go to the word. It says here that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You're wondering, why am I not strong enough to handle this? Why am I not strong enough to make it through this? Maybe it's because you will not wait on the Lord. But it does not stop there. It says that they shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I loved it because I had to look at three things there. When we wait, we get renewed strength. When we wait, we get renewed strength. What does that mean? It means I was already strong enough to begin with, but by me waiting, God's going to renew my strength to make it through that thing again. Okay, let's go a little further. When we wait, it says that we will mount up on wings as an eagle. When we wait on God, we go higher and soar above those things in life. Okay, let's go a step further. When we wait on God, we shall run and not be weary, and we shall walk and not faint. The longer you wait, the further that you will go and be able to walk and run, and he will give you the endurance to make it through. So we have to see here from the life of Isaac that patience is something that we need to hold on to, because the longer that we are patient and waiting on the Lord and letting patience have our perfect work, the more that God can do in our lives. But we continue on and we see the life of Jacob. Jacob was another man in this genealogy. Jacob is another man here at this gospel alumni reunion. And Jacob, we see he's introducing himself. Hey, my name is Jacob, but my nickname, my pet name is Determined. Why and how is Jacob determined? Because we have to see here in the story of Jacob, he was on the run. He took his family, everybody, and he said, go, we're running. We got to get away. They're going to come kill us. They're going to come attack us. And Jacob said, okay, you know what? I need to be alone for a second. And at that night, he was alone in the wilderness, alone by himself, like many of us may be. We're alone in the struggles of life, alone trying to figure it out. We have our family and our friends, but we say, hey, I don't want to be with you right now. I just need to be alone. And it's in that moment of being alone, Jacob has a visit. And this visitor comes, who is a divine representation of Christ. And as this visitor comes, he begins to wrestle with this angel. But Jacob realized, I'm not just wrestling with a stranger, but I'm wrestling with somebody that has something that I need. And the Bible records that he wrestles all night long, and he's holding on, and he's wrestling, and he's fighting. And this angel said, look, quit, stop, don't do this anymore. And the angel, boom, hit him on his hip and broke his hip. But yet he is still holding on and fighting. We see that Jacob was determined because he told that angel, I will not let go until you bless me. I will not let go until you give me the promise, until you give me what I need. Jacob was determined to trust God no matter what. And I'm wondering how many of y'all have a blessing in your hand, but are you determined not to let it go? Are you determined to hold on until God shows up and show out just like Jacob did? And no matter what, he said, I will not let you go. Jacob, in spite of all his flaws, was determined to get what God had for him. And let's go back, ladies, and look at these four women that people gossiped about, that people talked about for their lifestyle. We see here that these four women, when we go back and look, we have Rahab. Rahab was in the city of Jericho. Joshua said the spies to go check out the city, said God gave us the city. And here was this woman named Rahab who was in the city. And she was like, wait, I know that these are people and men of God, and they are going to be victorious over this city. So what am I supposed to do? She said, hey, guess what? I'm going to let you guys in, but you got to cover me and cover my family. She realized my past as a harlot didn't indicate what my future could be. My past and what I was does not let me know what my future is. We look at Ruth. Ruth was an outsider. Ruth was an outcast. She was there with Naomi. But she realized, hey, if I can stay with this person, if I can stay with Naomi, and I will meet my Boaz, I will meet my husband. Yet again, my past of being a widow doesn't dictate my future of being who I am. We look at Bathsheba. Yet again, she was one that stepped out of her marriage, stepped out of her relationship. But God saw fit that through her lifestyle and through her kids, that she will now become the one that will bring forth Jesus later on in generations. We see that all these women, that no matter what their past looked like, it did not indicate what their future would be. What we have to understand, that you may see my past, but God sees my future. You may see what I was, but God sees who I am. So it doesn't matter what that is. It doesn't matter what that looked like. These four women are blessed. They were blessed because they were part of the kingdom. But then next, we get to David. David said, I heard what you said about me. I heard that you said I made foolish decisions. I heard that you said that I was selfish and did things the wrong way. All these things that I've done in my life, that I made the mistake. I had a man killed because of my selfish desires. I didn't follow God when I was supposed to. But David said, hi, my name is David. But hi, I am anointed. See, what David understood and knew, that as a young man, he was anointed and called by God to do great and mighty things. And because of that anointing on his life, no matter what David went through, he always remembered one thing. He stayed as close to God as possible as he could. The Bible records that David was considered a friend of God. David was considered one that was after God's own heart. I believe David is teaching us something so important today, that no matter what we go through in life, no matter the mistakes we make in life, that if we could hold on to God's unchanging hand, if we could stick close to the Father, that no matter what we do, no matter what happens, that the anointing and that covering over our life will keep us. We have to see, like David, that in spite of all of his flaws, he stayed close to God. He never left his side. He stayed closer than close. And that should be the desire of us. So we see this gospel alumni reunion, that these great men and women that are in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus, yes, they had their flaws, but in spite of their flaws, they overcame it in great and awesome ways. But I hear you. You may hear me. You're wondering, okay, well, what does that have to do with me? Ushers, you could go ahead and pass them out right now. Well, we're gonna personalize this a little bit, all right? The ushers is going to hand you something and hand you a pen. In a few moments, you're going to write something on this piece of paper here, okay? So, the ushers are passing out. Just take it. You're going to write on it just a little bit. We're going to get going on that. But I have a scripture. Couple scriptures that I want to tie this all back together as we are going to take a part now in this gospel alumni reunion. You may have been here for the Black alumni reunion. You may have been here for family reunions and things like that. But today, we are going to take a part in the gospel alumni reunion. So, the Word of God says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. This is in Revelations. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven, and I will give each one a white stone, and on that stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who received it. On that stone will be a new name that no one understands except the one who received it. This is a prophetic word that the Lord gave unto Peter. And he told Peter that in heaven, that when we get there, that we will have a new name. in heaven when we'll get there, that we'll have a new name, that will be a new representation of who we are. So, Hopewell, I came to introduce you to the Gospel Alumni Reunion, that on today you are going to be able to say, hello, I have a new name, and my new name is Faith. My new name is Blessed. My new name is Determined, that you are going to be able to write yourself a new name, that you may say, hey, I can be like David, and I could be anointed. I could be like Abraham, and I could have faith. I can be like Rahab. I could be like Bathsheba. But still, I hear you. And you may be thinking about the song, I think it was the Williams Brothers, and say, hey, but Minister Kurt, I'm a nobody. I'm just a nobody. How can I be somebody? How can I tell everybody about this man who saved my soul? So what we have to understand here, that you may not be David, you may not be Jacob, you may not be Abraham, you may not be Isaac, but catch this. Romans 8, 15 and 17 says this. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we share with his glory, we share with his suffering. What we need to know and understand is that the same privileges that God has given his son, Jesus Christ, is the same privileges he's given us. So on today, on this Sunday morning, I want you to take that, hello, my name is, and I want you to say, God, what is my name on today? Am I representing faith? Am I representing healing? Am I representing joy? And whatever that is, you need to write it and put that on your chest right now. You need to write it and say, guess what? My name is faith. My name is deliverance. My name is healing. My name is joy. My name is what God has called you to be, because let me make the connection for you as you write that and fill it out and stick it on you, because I want to see everybody with your new name, what you are saying that God has decreed over your life, that we have to understand the reason why we have access to this. That unlike any other reunion, unlike any other thing, that spiritually, that when we see that the work of Jesus Christ, this genealogy, Matthew 1 through 17, it leads all the way to the birth of our Lord and Savior. But it's an awesome thing to know that it does not stop there, because something amazing and mighty happened when it was on the cross of Calvary, that Jesus, while he was on that cross, he gave up his spirit. And Matthew 27 and 15 says that he shouted and released his spirit. So what happened when he released his spirit? We have to understand that on that Friday, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, that his blood was shed on Calvary for the redemption of sins. And it's at that moment that when he died, the song says, they hung him high, they stretched him wide, he hung his head, and for me he died. But that's not how the story ends, because we have the testimony that in 3 days he rose again. But guess what? That's still not how the story ends, because we see here that before he left, he rose and he came back and he told his disciples that said, hey, even though I leave, I'm going to come again and my spirit is going to come upon you. What we need to realize is that when we believe that God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, and when we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, that spirit that he released has now became part of us. And it says here in Acts 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. So what does that mean? That when we receive his spirit, we are now joint heirs with Christ. So now we have a new name, and we can say, hello, my name is Victory. Hello, my name is Faith. Hello, my name is Breakthrough. Why? Because we have power. It says, it's awesome, it's awesome, it's awesome. awesome. When you were born again, Jesus moved in with everything he has, and we became an heir to the fortune that Jesus has for us once we gave our life to Jesus. I wonder if I have any people here that can testify and say that I've given my life to Jesus, and I have a new name that is written down in glory. So now that when you go back out to the reunion, you ain't worried about the gossip and the lies, but you say, guess what? You may know who I used to be called, but now I have a new name that is written down in glory, and we could be just like Moses. When Moses met God, he said, who shall I say sent me? God says, I am that I am is the one that sent me. So we have to realize, God, if you are the great I am, and you sent your son Jesus to die, but now Jesus lives in me, I can testify that I am everything that I need to be, that I am all that I need to be. So I can declare that I am peace, that I am faith, that I am joy, because I am a joint heir with Christ. So I wonder if I have anybody bold enough to declare and shout out and cry out the new name that God has given you, the new name that God has written for you, that you can say, guess what? Show somebody, hello, my name is peace. My name is joy. My name is breakthrough. My name is deliverance. Who has a new name here and is excited about what God has called you? Oh, I wonder if anybody, you don't seem like you're excited that God has given you a new name. Do you not see and realize that because Christ has now made me a joint heir, I am, and the great I am lives inside of me. The great I am is now here with me. So now I have power. Now I have that peace of mind. Now I have that ability to go through my day and to understand that no matter what I go through, Jesus, you are here with me. Jesus, you are making it through. So now it changes the atmosphere and shifts things. When the praise team were up here earlier, they were singing a song. And that song, and as the praise team comes, we're going to go back into a little bit of that. The song says, Christ is our firm foundation. What does that mean? That means that when the rain came and the wind blew, I'm safe with you. Why? Because you are a firm foundation. I wonder if there's anybody here that's excited and can worship our King of Kings because he is a firm foundation. What does that mean? Just like everybody gossiped and talked about David, Abraham, Jacob, Rahab, that be understood and knew that no matter what, as long as I lean and depended on God, as long as I trusted in him and know who God is, that I now have a firm foundation. As you go through this day, as you go through your week, you need to take that name to heart. Whatever it is that God's given you, that new name that is written down in glory, that you understand that, God, I can be that. And so much more, saints of God, when we tap into the power of what God wants to do in your life, do you know that anything is possible with our God? Do you believe that no matter what you may come against, that anything is possible with our God? I know that there are some people here that you have some tests and trials, and the weights of life may seem like it's burdening you down, but can you get to the place and connect and say, God, I know and I understand that I can make it through, not by my might, not by my strength, but God, because you are my firm foundation. God, my hope is placed in you. My trust is placed in you. See, when we get to that place and that we're able to let go of those things that we held on to, when we get to that place that we could throw those things aside and see that, Jesus, you have given me everything that I need to make it through all that I go through in life. We have access. We have the keys to make it through anything. So let's take a moment and reflect on, okay, God, I want you to, all those tests, all those trials, all those issues, I want you to do something that we try not to do. We try to avoid them. Put them in front of your mind right now. It could be those kids. It could be that job. It could be your financial situation. It could be your health status. And I know it may hurt to think about those things. It may hurt to face those things. It may hurt to look at them and say, God, I failed you, God. God, I made mistakes, and I was like David, and I sinned intentionally. I was like Rahab, and I had a past that I'm not proud of. God, I didn't have the patience. I didn't have the things that I needed, but then I need you to tell yourself and to put every thought in your mind a spiritual bodyguard and says, but God, in spite of that, I am all that you said that I'm supposed to be. God, I am everything that you've called me to be, God. And so not by my strength, not by my might, but God, I'm resting on your firm foundation. So it's at this time, if anybody that, I love this, and I love to make this request, and you don't have to do it, that's perfectly fine. Because if you look and study the Bible, that anywhere that God did something amazing, that God performed a miracle, that Jesus performed a miracle, there was one key thing that took place, that they had to display and demonstrate their faith. They had to display and demonstrate their faith. Why is it a pastor was pushing you so hard earlier to open your mouth, to stand and give praise? Because God sees and he rewards that faithfulness. So I wonder here, if anybody today, as we about to conclude and sing the song, that if you say, God, I believe this new name that you gave me, that I'm going to stand up in faith. You don't have to walk, you don't have to come down, but you're going to stand up in faith and say, God, my standing is a demonstration that, hey, I am standing on a firm foundation. Thank you, my brother, that you're standing. Thank you, my sister, because there's a few of us here that understand that, guess what? I'm going to stand up in faith and say, God, I am this new creation. Oh, come on, there's more of you. I know it may seem uncomfortable. Why am I the only one standing? But see, something happens that when the more of us stand, the more of this change takes place. I could only say this and say this so much. What could God do if everyone in this room put their faith on display? That burden that you have, that issue that you have, that we understand that God, you are my firm foundation. So I want us yet again to keep that on our mind. But as Sister Gret and the praise team leads us in this song again, let's transition that and say, okay, God, I want to hear us as one big choir, one big crowd, as we sing in faith and declare that God is our firm foundation.